Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 205 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Now, what do you do when you work in big alcohol and your values just no longer align? For Elizabeth, the natural solution was to create the prettiest curated non-alcoholic kits that are delivered right to your door. Elizabeth explains how her husband's choice to go sober deeply impacted her own relationship with alcohol, and it was a catalyst for starting her dream business, Dry Kit. This is such a fantastic episode. Let's get into it. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm really great. Third time's a charm. Let's get this done. Wi-Fi communication problems are not going to stop us today.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's not happening. We are stronger than our Wi-Fi. Elizabeth, I definitely want to talk about your incredible new business, Dry Kit. Sounds amazing and everyone needs to know about it. But I want to back it up. I want to back the truck up and I want to talk about you and your relationship to alcohol and what that even looks like. Like, first of all, right off the bat, how do you identify? Like, what is your relationship with alcohol today?
Today, I consider myself a mindful drinker.
Okay.
My relationship with alcohol started, like so many others, in college, which was kind of just a crazy environment where almost all social gatherings revolved around alcohol. I went to a 4-year university. I was in a sorority and yeah, like everything revolved around alcohol, partying, binge drinking was super common. And that was like my first experience with drinking was like in this crazy environment that I thought was super fun at the time. And now looking back, it was just, you know, a bit reckless.
A bit. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's, I mean, hindsight's always like 2020, right? Like looking back, you're like, how did I do that? Why did I do that? And I think like growing up, like, you know, we're around the same age ish, like elder millennials, like that was par for the course, right? Like that was like in style or trendy to do, to like get blackout drunk and like,
yeah,
make an ass of yourself.
Yeah. And you know, our bodies rebounded so much better when we were younger, and that really cut back on the consequences a bit.
Yeah. Totally.
Today, as a mindful drinker, I have hardly any tolerance for alcohol. So part of the reason that I don't drink often is I really feel it. Like anything more than one glass of wine, I really feel it. And yeah, that just didn't really exist back in the day of a lot of times. It was like, wake up and do it again.
Yeah. But do you think like back then, can you honestly say that you were in touch with like your body, your mind, your spirit?
No, those were such formative years where there was a lot going on, and partying was definitely a coping mechanism, but because everyone was doing it, it didn't really feel like a huge problem.
Totally. Yeah. If everyone's doing it, it can't be that bad, right?
Exactly. That's how it was. So that was my intro to drinking. And then when I got into the real world, my first, what I consider my first career job, when I was 23, I started working in-house at a wine brand. And that was so fun and sexy. And I got to brag to my friends because I had free wine. We had wine at the office. It was extremely common where we would, everyone would have a glass of wine at the end of the day while you're working with your coworkers, with your boss. And we had, we sponsored so many events and music festivals. So that was like a lot of fun, especially because that was my first job. And I was like, the real world is great.
Yeah. This is fantastic.
So that job, spending 3 years in-house at a wine brand, kind of, I found myself in a little niche of doing graphic design and branding work in the alcohol space because I rebranded this company, did their logo, their wine label designs. And then once that was in my portfolio, I found that I had other alcohol brands approaching me to work with them as well.
Okay.
So from there, I eventually started working for myself, and that's when I took on a lot of other clients in the alcohol space.
Okay.
And ultimately ended up going in-house again full-time with the spirits brand. So I've spent the better part of the last 10 years working in the alcohol space.
Yeah. And
in that time, my relationship with alcohol evolved and changed. And in more recent times, it just didn't really align with my lifestyle anymore. It was so different. My experience was so different from when I was 23 and thought that was super fun and exciting. And now it didn't line up with how I live my life anymore.
So how did that affect your job and your career? You know, you're saying that you're working primarily in the alcohol industry. How is it like going to work and you're like, oh, like this isn't like part of my core values?
Yeah.
How am I doing this?
Yeah, it really felt like a contradiction, especially in the last, in the year of 2022. In January of 2022, my husband started his journey in recovery and sobriety.
Okay.
And I was still working in the alcohol space. And that was such a big lifestyle shift for us.
Yeah.
So it really felt like such a contradiction because as it relates to the alcohol industry and my coworkers, everyone that I worked with, their job was selling alcohol. And so
if
you're in alcohol sales, you're drinking on the job. That is your job. And so when we would have the teams gather or go to events, everyone was drinking me under the table. And I was like, kind of required to like always have these cocktails in my hands. And I would like take a sip and like abandon my drink on a table somewhere.
Yeah. You like pour it in a planter or something. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because at home, we had removed all alcohol from our house. And this experience was so big, especially when this journey into sobriety in our household was new.
Yeah.
I really kind of viewed alcohol as the enemy a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I saw it as the source of this pain and chaos. Yeah. And it was just a huge contradiction to be on in my professional life, branding and marketing hard alcohol. And in my personal life, I hated alcohol. I was like mad at it.
That's so, it's I can only imagine how that would feel. You're like tearing yourself apart, or having to like almost like segregate parts of yourself, like slip into this other person at work and then come home and be another person. Like,
yeah,
I compartmentalize these situations almost.
Yeah. And, you know, my husband was really supportive of me doing what I had to do for work. And, you know, that was my job. And it was a great opportunity. Like, professionally, it was a good position to be in.
Sure.
But it was just, I did just feel like very much not in alignment for that whole year. And during that year, my relationship with alcohol was significantly changing as I was trying to figure out how to be the best support system possible.
Yeah.
And I kind of just went through this journey of like, how is my relationship with alcohol changing? In the beginning, my husband was, you know, he was choosing not to drink, and he was like,
sure,
you know, if you want to drink, go for it. Like, your path is different from mine. You can do whatever you want. And that just didn't feel right for me. So I started really scaling back. Sometimes I would kind of miss drinking.
Okay.
I've, in more recent years, I wasn't a heavy, like, I haven't been a heavy drinker since like the college days. I was kind of over partying pretty quickly, especially since I was about 25, I would say. So I wasn't really scaling back from like always feeling like I needed to go out and socialize and party, but I was still scaling back from kind of that like nightly ritual of pouring a glass of wine.
Which I think is almost harder.
Yeah.
Cause it's not like black and white. It's not like, you know, different ends of the spectrum. It's like, well, it's not horrible, but it's not great, but it's like this gray area. Right.
Yeah. And it really was the ritual part of it. It was like coming home, pouring a glass of wine. I really enjoy the experience of either making a cocktail or like using really nice glassware. I'm all about that whole experience. And so when I did feel like I missed that, I was like, how can I still have this experience and also respect my husband and honor how my feelings about alcohol? And that's kind of when I discovered that I could still have an experience with NA alternatives. So that was kind of like my journey in starting Dry Kit, really. It was like realizing that there were a lot of great non-alcoholic products out there that previously I really didn't know that they existed.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people still don't really know how many great products are out there on the market and continuing to grow and pop up.
But I think there's one key, you know, kind of principle, like, yes, non-alcoholic options are great, but it sounds like you actually even like took the time. I mean, it was great, you know, a nice introduction that your husband stopped drinking, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's on its own. And he even gave you the pass to like keep drinking or do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're essentially at the end of the day, you're your own person. And for the, you know, taking that time and that space to really figure out like, okay, like, do I even like drinking? Like, how is this even fitting into my life? Like, is this helping? Is this hindering? You know, I think that's a key and like pivotal question to ask yourself, like, what am I getting from alcohol?
Yeah.
Why are we doing it?
Yeah. I think I'm extremely fortunate where when I did remove alcohol, I realized I didn't miss it.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. And I was asking myself those questions, like, what really makes drinking worth it? And I'm still asking myself those questions. I'm waiting currently today. I'm waiting to find a good reason to drink again. And I don't know if I'll find it.
Yeah. I love how you put that. I'm still waiting. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Try selling me on this, because it's not really working here.
Yeah. And the first time I actively gave up alcohol was actually before this journey of sobriety. It was back in 2021 when I was preparing for my wedding.
Okay.
And it sounds so cringy to say this, but I was doing like a wedding diet.
Okay.
And like low hanging fruit, I wanted to remove the calories of alcohol, all of these empty calories,
right.
Empty everything, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't drink for about 3 months, and I found that I really I felt so much better without alcohol. So that was really my first time coming to that realization. And then after the wedding, kind of started drinking a little bit more. And then my timeline is that it was 6 months after our wedding that we started this journey. My husband and I started this process together.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. That's so cool. Like, to do it with someone you love, like your partner too. Tell me about how not drinking has affected your guys' relationship.
I think in the beginning when he first decided to get sober, that's when everything felt a little chaotic and confused.
Okay.
As a partner, I wanted to be as supportive as possible.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know where to begin with that.
Sure.
So what I chose to start with was getting alcohol out of the house. And he was on this journey of figuring out the combination of things that would support him the best in this journey. Because I feel like for most people, it's not just one thing, right? It's like, maybe it's meetings, maybe it's reading books, maybe it's like support, you know, establishing healthy routines. And so what I could do as a couple with him was like, we started to establish healthy routines together. And I think that was really great for our relationship.
Yeah.
We started working out together. Nice. I had spent years trying to get him to go to hot yoga with me, and he finally did.
That's funny.
We started going to hot yoga together, and then he was the regular at the studio, and all of the instructors knew his name and no one knew who I was.
That's hilarious.
But we started doing morning walking our dogs, both of us together, and like one person isn't sleeping in anymore. We're both waking up and walking the dogs, and we're going to the farmer's market. And so, we just started to kind of get back to the things we enjoyed doing as a couple before alcohol was more at play, kind of like pulling apart all of these routines, and kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of the source of just like wanting to stay in more or not wanting to do things. Like there was a bit of like a dip in us doing things we enjoyed. So when this process began, we kind of got back to that. And we also started new habits and new routines together. And it's still a journey today, and it's still a process. And, but I think as a couple, we are stronger today, and I think it will continue to strengthen our relationship. And even in the beginning, when things felt chaotic, I knew that this journey of sobriety would be like one of the greatest things for us. I believe that.
Yeah. That's so, it's so interesting, you know, when you shift your priorities, right? Like if you're, if drinking is your priority, that's also going to cause like a domino effect on how you act, like what you do, what you don't do.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
And how you show up for the other people in your life and your friends. And it really inhibits like reaching out to people and keeping up with people. You know, it's the older we get, the harder it is to keep in touch. Everyone's got their own things going on. And I think alcohol kind of pulls you away from some of that stuff. It definitely can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's 2023. Like everyone's busy. Everyone has something going on. Get it. But like alcohol doesn't, it makes you forget all of that. Like it just makes you kind of like this false sense of like, oh yeah, we are catching up. Like we're having a drink, like, but it's just very surfacey.
Yeah.
It's just superficial.
Not to mention it steals your time and your productivity. Mm-hmm. It like steals your mornings on the weekends and on Mondays. And you know, it just like, it robs you of so much like time, and you could be finding joy doing other things. And that's one part that I do not miss at all.
Yeah.
Going back to like waiting for a reason to drink again.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I want to talk about your work and like life balance. Like how did you finally, I mean, it sounds like you had a great opportunity at this one like spirit company, but at what point was it like, did your values kind of overcome this like great opportunity or this, you know, basically like money, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think it was in the first, so this whole process from when we started this journey to when I left the spirit company, that process was a whole year.
Okay. And
for the first 6 to 9 months, I would say, that's when I was just really trying to figure it out. And I was trying to have both of these things exist at the same time. And it wasn't really working.
Yeah.
I was, trying to change these habits and, you know, recalibrate our home life. And then I was also trying to go to work and keep up with all of these events and, you know, every company event was visiting, I'm not kidding you, like 4 to 5 bars and restaurants that carried our spirit. So it's like, oof, we go get a drink here and then we're going to show up and tell these guys thank you and have a drink here. And I truly, I couldn't keep up with it. It was such a contradiction. And like I said, I was like abandoning my drinks and like not even drinking when I wasn't being a team player and playing along and having a cocktail at each one of these spots that I was required to visit and, you know, like FaceTime too. So I would say it was about 9 months into, leading this like double life where, I went to this amazing dinner. The company is called Create Dinners. And what they do, they bring creative women together for these dinner parties. And everyone contributes something to the dinner.
Okay.
And ironically enough, I was contributing the hard alcohol as like a sponsor of this dinner. Okay. And I didn't drink it. And someone else contributed non-alcoholic options. And this woman brought 3 different cocktails and all of their ingredients. And she was mixing these beautiful, delicious, non-alcoholic cocktails. And you know, it was more than bubbly water. It was a non-alcoholic spirit and a mixer and a garnish. And she was creating this beautiful experience. And I was like, I want in on that. So I tried all I didn't want to drink. I wanted to feel good the next day. And I wanted to be present at this like amazing dinner with all of these amazing women. And it was so wild how we all connected to these strangers in one dinner. Everyone had conversation cards and were giving really meaningful answers. Like we were laughing. Some people were crying. It was so, it was such like deep connections made in such a short period of time. And when I'm drinking at something like that, I know, you know, like the moment when you cross over and you're not super connected anymore and you start getting a little fuzzy and then you start getting a little paranoid about, am I making sense? Am I saying something weird or awkward to this person? I don't know. And with the mocktail experience, you know, I got to enjoy this dinner and I just left so inspired. And now I look back on that and realize that that was really planting the seed of what I wanted to do in business. And that was planting the seed for my exit from my situation. And just leading me into doing something that was just more authentic to where I am today and how my life has, you know, shifted.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like some dinner.
It was.
That's incredible.
It was such a light bulb moment. And there was a woman there who owns this amazing hat company called Will and Bear. And she sponsors many of these dinners where she let all of us have a hat from her company. And they're like these well-crafted hats. And she said, these women, these are the heads that I want wearing my product. Like, this is who I want representing my company. And so now I'm having a full circle moment because that experience and that group of people was so inspiring for me. So now Dry Kit is starting to sponsor these dinners because these are the people that I want to know in my business as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That's so awesome. And, you know, sometimes it just takes that one kind of situation to make everything fall into place. And you're like, oh, this is why I'm doing this. Or like, this is why I was like tested, or this is why I went through this. Like, this is making sense. Like, it's not all just random, like crazy things going on in our lives. It's there's a purpose. There's like a method to the madness, I guess.
Definitely. And hindsight is 2020. And so looking back, I'm like, that was the light bulb moment when I realized that I needed to be doing something different.
And then enter Dry Kit, or how did that progress? Like, tell me about how Dry Kit was started.
So around that time, I started revisiting these non-alcoholic alternatives. I think it was that dinner when I realized that there were non-alcoholic spirits. I don't think I even knew about them until that dinner. I'd heard about some of the big players in the space and we're slowly starting to see them trickle into, you know, specialty grocery stores, especially I live in LA. And so we're really starting to see a shift in LA. And I think the first place I went to go visit to kind of explore these options was the New Bar in Venice in LA.
Nice.
And they had so many great options. The people that work there are so knowledgeable. And I had great conversations with them, even like about their journeys in sobriety. It was like really like they're definitely creating a community, like just like you are. And that was a really cool experience. And so I just got to go in there and say, like, what should I try? And walked out with like this huge shopping bag of products. And I just started exploring these things and I realized that there are options out there that are so delicious that I didn't previously know about. And now that I feel like we've kind of leveled out in this journey and in our home life, like now I'm ready to unpack my bar cart again and fill it with non-alcoholic options.
Nice.
So yeah, that kind of just started me realizing that that's what I wanted to do. And yeah. I have spent about 5 years previous to now, I'd spent about 5 years working for myself.
Okay. And
that is where I'm the happiest and most comfortable. You know, I had dipped into being full-time in the alcohol industry and I knew that I wanted to get back to working for myself. Like that's where I feel the most free, no Sunday scaries. Mm-hmm. And, that's just what I knew what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be able to change my professional life moving forward. And with starting my own brand, I can align myself with really smart women and people that I want to work with and brands that are aligned with what I want to do and what I want to be sharing with the world. So, mm-hmm. It was just kind of a natural next step to start a business. And I wanted to bring these great options and make this whole process easy for people who don't know that they can still create beautiful cocktail experiences at home with non-alcoholic options, like not limited to bubbly water or to, you know, soda water and lime.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God. It's a whole new world.
Yeah. Yes. And like I said, I feel like this shift is happening in larger cities. And it's not happening everywhere. So I want to be able to shift these cocktail kits to your homes, especially if you live in an area where you can't just go to a cool, new, hip, non-alcoholic liquor store down the street, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, not everyone has access to all that. And also like I'm speaking for myself, not everyone knows how to use or like wants to really learn how to implement these products.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to learn. I like, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to put in there and then like go.
Exactly. And I will say there are so many amazing products out there and there's also a good amount of just not as impressive products out there. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of doing that filtering for you, you know, we're going to test everything and we're going to kind of weed out the products that, you know, taste like a little like juice or watered down. There's just like stuff that are not great. And thankfully, I think there's even more products that are really amazing. And so we want to find the most interesting products. We want to uplift women-owned businesses and work with them and give another platform to showcase their products. And we want to find the best combinations and make it easy because a lot of people don't want to put in the work. Like you said, you don't want to make it complicated. Like, let's just do something easy. And all you have to do is like mix these things together and there you go.
Yeah. Give me the instructions. Give me the steps.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah. We'll even send you the garnishes to make it look pretty and create like this cool, fancy experience. So you don't have to, you know, dehydrate orange slices or whatever it is.
Yeah. Cause you know, that's never going to happen. unless by like some accident that I like leave an orange or like some piece of fruit, like out, which I've been known to do. But you know, whatever. That's very few and far between that ever happens. But it's nice to like know that someone is going through and like sifting through and finding these really, really elevated options.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about elevation. It's all about the experience. And, you know, my background is in branding and packaging. And so it's even important to me that all of these products look nice. A lot of times these products live in your house. Like they stay on your counter for who knows how long, or if you're repeat buying them. I'm just like a huge fan of making my house like a beautiful zen kind of place. And I'm extremely biased. Like I don't like ugly things on the counter. So if it's ugly, it's getting hidden. If it's beautiful, which is what we're
and then when it's hidden, it doesn't get used. And then when it doesn't get used, it's like, okay, well, this is a waste.
Yeah.
So, are you a Taurus?
No.
Oh, what are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh. Okay.
I always like say it with a little hesitation.
Like, sorry, I'm a Scorpio.
Sorry. I'm a little stubborn and fiery at times.
At times. No, I was just going to say, because like Tauruses really have like a keen eye for like really pretty things, like more like luxurious, like that's just in their wheelhouse. But I feel like, I don't know if I believe in the signs and what.
I'm very,
as I just asked you what your sign is.
I know. I'm very into the signs, but I will say like, I couldn't rattle off all of my rising and setting moon and sun. I couldn't tell you all of that, but my husband would tell you that I'm a pretty true Scorpio.
Okay. What are the characteristics of a Scorpio?
I think like fiery, passionate, I think stubborn. And I mean, our sign is like a scorpion with a stinger. Yeah.
You know, but like, you hold like grudges, and then like, will you sting on that, or like what?
I don't know. I don't know if this aligns with Scorpio, but I do not hold grudges. Like, I cannot handle being weighed down by anything. I need to just let shit go.
Okay, that is not how I've experienced Scorpios.
I think that. I want to say Scorpio is a water sign though, that is like feels very deeply and feels emotions deeply.
Okay.
And that would make
sense. Yeah. I mean, it would make sense if you like feel things deeply, like it might be hard for certain Scorpios to like let things go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Talk to me about Dry Kit. Where can we find your kits, and how do we go about this? How do we navigate getting into the Dry Kit world?
Yeah, so we are direct to consumer e-commerce at the moment. So you can find us at shopdrykit.com.
Okay.
And we, like I said, we're curating high quality non-alcoholic cocktail kits. We are doing a mix of offering classic evergreen kits that will be available and there to stay.
Yeah.
And we're also doing fun seasonal kit per quarter season. So right now for the spring, we have a kit called The Botanist that is super floral and has dried jasmine bud garnish, like super fun. Ooh. It's pretty feminine. It's floral. It is our star product in there is a really nice de-alcoholized Blanc de Blanc champagne. So every season we're going to be having a kit that is like sets the vibes for the season. And we're just in our initial launch phase, but very, very soon we will have we'll have these seasonal kits available for subscription. So you can just not even think about it and you'll get a seasonal kit delivered to your door once per quarter. So
cool.
Just, you know, make it easy.
Yeah. And what a great gift to give someone too. Right? Like I was, that just popped into my head. Like anyone who's like changing their relationship with alcohol or like has been like a sober girl for a while, like how cute would that be just to have this like show up on your friend's or like loved one's doorstep?
Totally. And
so nice. That's
kind of, that was a huge inspiration for this company for me as someone who is wanting to support a loved one in their sobriety. I asked myself, like, what can I do to support? And that's definitely one thing that I can do is like have this great gift option to help support someone. And everyone's experience is different, but some people don't want to feel left out in that social scene. And you want to have an option where you don't want, I don't know, I'm sure you're just sick of getting questioned like, what are you drinking? Why aren't you drinking? All of that complicated stuff that comes with other people not understanding your experience.
Yeah.
I feel like they're, you know, having these non-alcoholic options kind of keep that away for a little bit, you know, like.
Yeah. But it's also nice to like receive and be like, oh, someone sees me.
Yeah.
Like someone definitely like supports me. You don't have to necessarily understand
right
the journey or the process, but like just support. It's all good.
Yeah. That's totally the place that I am coming from and what I want to be able to support other people. And I have a ton of friends who have loved ones who have, you know, complicated relationships with alcohol and slip in and out of sobriety. And we're all looking for ways to support. And so this is a very easy, thoughtful way. And I should mention, gift giving is my love language.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I was literally just going to ask you what your attachment style is, but that's perfect.
Yeah.
But what is your attachment style since we're here?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what are the
Okay, so there's anxious attachment, which like tends to go if there's some like an anxious person will go towards someone if they feel like a slight disconnection. Mm-hmm. There is avoidant attachment, which is like someone who will pull away when there is connection in the relationship. Both, you know, are the same, have the same fears basically around a relationship, like they're going to get hurt. And then there is, what is it? I always forget. I'm like, oh, the normal one, like stable, like healthy, like in the middle, someone in the middle.
I'm probably anxious.
Okay. As soon as I describe the attachment styles, everyone's like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. I mean, a lot of people, especially women, tend to be more on the anxious side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
what do I want to go towards? We want to fix.
Don't leave me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now like you don't even need to go towards someone. You can just send them a dry kit. I'm just like thinking I get.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is a gift from my healthy, stable attachment style.
Healthy, stable girls everywhere.
Totally. Love it. Elizabeth, can you tell us one more time where we can find Dry Kit on the World Wide Web?
Yes, you can find us at www.shopdrykit.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us on Instagram at dry.kit. And I should mention that's dry with an I.
Okay. So D-R-I.
Yep.
Nice. Perfect. Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I think you've built such a wonderful community and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, I know this is not always the case for every relationship and every couple. Every couple is different. So please do not compare your relationship or your circumstances to anyone else, but what makes you feel good for you in your relationship with your partner. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. We love to hear your comments. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girls Guide, and head to asobergirlsguide.com. We have everything you need to change your relationship with alcohol. No matter what stage of your journey you are at, we got your back, girl. Head to asobergirlsguide.com for challenges, workbooks, our Sober Girl Social Club membership, and our group coaching programs. We got your back. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.